Well, welcome to Harvest Bible Church. We're just going to share a couple quick announcements with you here. For the first thing is we want to say thank you for everyone who came to support our fundraiser last week for our youth going to summer camp in just a few short weeks here. We raised over $1,000 to help our students go. So praise God. Thank you, guys. That's going to help the price a whole lot. So thank you so much for that. And we're excited to go. And on that same note, we're still continuing signups. We still have room. So junior high, when we're over there, you guys can sign up. And parents, if you have any questions, please come over to the youth room after service and come see me there. Also, for our young married couples group, we are hosting a barbecue potluck swim party to kick off the summer, which we're very excited for. That's going to be Saturday, June 13th at 12 p.m. It's going to be a little bit potluck style. There's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs that are provided, but we're asking if everyone could bring a side dish or a dessert to share. Kids are welcome, and we're going to be swimming and having a great time. So we hope to see you all there. And then we also have an announcement from Miss Marilyn for the Community Action Team, I believe. And give it up for Miss Marilyn as she makes her way.
Caught me off guard a little bit there. I forgot about this. Well, thank everyone who voted for voting. Praise the Lord. We are the salt and light in California. Really, this is just short and quick. I've been noticing, you know, I started a new email platform, and it gives me a report on the percentages of people who open their emails, and I have gotten really low percentages. Not that I'm checking to see whether you open up your emails or if you really need the material. That's, you know, I'm here to serve you. If you need it, you know, great. I know there's lots of resources out there, but what I do want to know is if it's actually making it to your inbox. So it could be going to spam, you know, things like that. So if you are on the Community Action Team email list, could you please, I'm going to be sending out an email the beginning of this week. If you could please watch for that and make sure. If you don't see anything, check your spam. Let me know so that we can get that. Sometimes with these kind of emails, there's bots that get out there. Constant Contact tells me that they check for bots. But, you know, with all this stuff going on, if a bot gets a hold of it and send it to spam, it can create problems with the whole email system. So I'm just kind of doing a check and balance. If you could watch for that and make sure that the Community Action Team is in your contacts, or, you know, you whitelist it in your email so that you be sure to get the information. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Miss Marilyn. All right. And then all of our junior high, 6th to 8th grade, if you guys can make your way to the back, and then Pastor will come.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing to believe God for all of the, you know, primaries and everything. We know we have another one coming up in November, but praise God. How many know God's faithful? He always does good things for us. And so we are just thanking God no matter what. We're still going to proclaim the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to John chapter 17. Glory to God. Amen. And we're going to finish up from what we talked about last week about the difference between justification and sanctification. Those big giant words, we're just going to bring them down. We're talking about the difference between righteousness and being cleansed and doing the things that God wants us to do. You know, righteousness makes us holy, but you know, you got to walk out holiness and you got to walk out things. And so, you know, many times when we talk about holy, we talk about holiness, everybody gets real nervous because everybody thinks it's dress. Everybody thinks, you know, that I've got to act a certain way. No, you just have to love God more than you love yourself, more than you love anybody else, and more than you love things. Thank you for your overwhelming response, but that's okay. Because as a pastor, you know, things that you look at, you really you know, you want people to get it. You want people to walk in the truth of the Lord. John said it like this. First John says this, you know, and it says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. I mean, isn't it wonderful when you see God's hand upon your kids or see your hand upon people that are actually worshiping and praising God? Amen? And I was showing a video this morning about Cameron's kids worshiping. Cameron's playing the keyboard, and they're worshiping, singing. And little Perry's worshiping and got a little hand up. Hallelujah. And she's two. So praise God for that, you know. And when you see it, that it just makes you thrilled, you know. And even in the spiritual realm, makes me thrilled when you're doing the things of God. Amen? And that's the way that you begin to know that the Word of God works or the Word of God is live, is when you actually get to taste and see for yourself. Yeah. Amen? You know, when I was in Bible college, you know, whenever our professors were going to give tests or our teachers, instructors, everybody just, they get so nervous. And then they'd overdo everything. And they'd try to read into, I think they're trying to do this. I think they're trying to do that. I think they're trying to do this. And I'd be like, they're not trying to do anything. They're not trying to trick us. They're not trying to make it, you know, if you just listened and you just took notes and you actually didn't fall asleep in class, you didn't leave early because you put work more important than why you were there. Yeah, amen, because we all had to work, you know. Amen. And, but if you listened and you did, you know, I always got 100% of my tests because it was easy, because they weren't trying to trick us. But all of them, my roommate and everybody else, they always messing things up. I said, well, why? Well, I thought they were doing this. I thought they meant this. I said, but that's not what the Bible says. Why would you think that they would say something different than what they actually taught? But see, as Christians, we're always trying to figure it out. We're always thinking that it's harder than it is. We're always thinking that, well, maybe God doesn't want this, or maybe God doesn't like this, or maybe God's not about this. Amen? You know, God's all about this. He's all about his word. And that's why we have to know the word of God. Amen? And that's why God said, you know what? They're not going to get it on their own, so I'm going to have to send them a comforter. I'm going to have to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to send the third person of the Godhead to live and to dwell in them, to show them how they're supposed to live, to show them things to come, and actually to remind them. I'm going to show them and bring things to their remembrance. Amen? I mean, God is awesome. He sends Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross. He spills his blood for us, puts his blood in heaven. He redeems us. And then God says, that's not enough. Praise God. I got to send somebody down to help them. I got to send them another help, because we know humans. They're going to think they're smarter than me. They're going to think they know everything about that. So what I want to do is I want to give you today is things that the Holy Spirit does, amen, for you and for us, because justification made you holy. Who you are in Christ is awesome, and we teach that more than anything else, because you got to know what you have in order to use it. Amen? You got to know who you are in order to stand strong and not be afraid. Amen? You need to know about the greater one in you. You need to know about what God has done. You need to understand that you have authority. Amen. Thank God for that. But also, you need to know your part on how you exercise that authority, how you exercise that joy, how you exercise all the things that the Word of God says. And that's where sanctification comes in. It's just making you clean. It's making you holy because you're acting the way God wants you to act. It's always shocking to me that people say, well, how could the Bible says this, the Bible says that? How come it's not working? And they look at their lives. And they say, well, you know all this, you say all this, but you act like this. And you say this when nobody's around. Or you're doing, your life is not lining up with what the Word of God says. Amen. This is a pastoral message. It's to help you with the sheep. Because why? Because we need to know that in the middle of a crisis, we can trust God. In the middle of what goes on, we can trust God no matter what. We can take hold of the Word of God. Amen. And I made this statement last week, these two statements. First one is this. The secret to effective Christian living is knowing the power of the Spirit through the Word, which simply knows that the Word and the Spirit agree. And when you know the Word of God, hallelujah, the Spirit of God in you is going to enable you to live a life. And that's who you are in Christ. That's what you have. You know, it helps you live knowing the power of the Spirit of God, that it accepts the Word of God and it take it as mine. When God's Word says you are more than a conqueror, you say, I'm more than a conqueror. When God says you're an overcomer, you say, I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Amen. When Jesus said, I give you my joy, you say, I got Jesus' joy. And Jesus said, I give you my peace. You say, I got Jesus' peace. You agree with the Word of God. Amen. Now, here's the thing. The secret of effective Christian service, or what you do, hallelujah, is using the Word of God and the power of the Spirit, knowing that when you speak the Word of God, it's empowered by the Word, and it's going to change things around you. Yes. Amen? Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit gave everybody the Bible. The Bible says that it was written as the Holy Spirit came on men to write it. Amen? God gave us the Holy Spirit so that He could interpret what He wrote. Amen? Because He knew we would mess it up, and we would look at it, and we'd say, well, that doesn't mean that. That can't mean that. That can't mean that if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, He'll do it. That's John 14, 14, 13 and 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, He can't mean that. It means all this other thing. Can't mean that. You know, everybody has to analyze, and everybody has to try to make it. Well, you got to line that up with this up and this and that. You know, I think that God knew how dumb we were, and God knew that, hey, we're going to make it plain. Amen. We're going to make it easy here. You know, I mean, this is the, you know, and here, let's read John 17 through 21, because Jesus is sharing. This is His high priestly prayer. He's praying. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to be betrayed. All the, and He says this, He said, Lord, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, make them holy through your truth, and Your word is the truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I'm going to use sanctified think all the way through here. But what He's saying is, I make them holy. I'm cleansing them. I'm washing them. Here it is. So here it is. You know, here it is. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I'm sacrificing myself so that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And then He says this in verse 20. I don't know if you have this underlined in your Bible, but you ought to. Because He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them. You know, actually, I got my name in there. For me, He's praying for me also, which shall believe on me through their word. Talking about all of us, that we believed on this. We were born again through the word of the disciples, through the word of God. Amen. So Jesus prayed for us. Amen. He said that believes in the word. Then He said this, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that You have sent me. Verse 22 is really good, because He says, and the glory which You gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. God's desires, He wants to show off, He wants to do things, but we need to know our part in this, and our part is to believe and to act on what God said for us to do. You know, there's an old song called, trust and obey, for there's no other way, amen, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And that's why we have so many people that aren't happy. We have so many people who have been, you know, and they go, well, I tried that. You know, I used to be a part of that. Oh, I used to believe that. Oh, I used to believe this. And it really amazes me, those that have believed the word of God and they've tasted of the goodness of God, and yet they go back to works. They go back to religion. They go back to something that, you know, is safe. Amen. I don't want you to be safe Christians. I want you to be saved Christians. Okay? I don't want you to be safe. I want you to have boldness. I want you to have strength. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit, He has the power to reveal, hallelujah, Jesus Christ to everyone, and His glory to every one of us. Amen? Yes. You know, we talked about last week, was John 16, when it talked about that the Holy Spirit's job was to convict the world of sin. And then it says of righteousness. Then it said of judgment. And you look at it and go, what is that? Oh, he's going to do. Well, He's talking three things there. First of all, He's going to convince the world, or convict the world of sin. That's what it is. The only sin that the world's going to get convicted of is whether or not they believe that Jesus came and that Jesus is their Savior. Amen? Amen. They're not going to get convicted about all the bad things they do. They're only going to be convicted. He's only convicted about what are you going to do about Jesus Christ? Amen. And here's the thing too, is that the second thing is for the church. Righteousness is for us. He says, righteousness is because he's going to the Father. He said, I've made you righteous. Amen. I've showed you. Now you need to understand the righteous or how to be right with God. When you know you're right with God, doesn't care if anybody else is you're not right with it. As long as you're right with God, he'll make everything else work out. Amen. And then judgment is for both of them. You're either going to get judged at the great white throne judgment or you're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're born again, you're going to still have judgment. If you're not born again, you're going to have judgment. But you don't want to be over here. You want to be over here. Amen? And I know it's the Bema seat. I know when you look it all up, it's the reward seat, but it's also judgment. It's also letting you know, how did you live your life? You know, when you get to heaven, is there going to be any evidence that you actually existed on the earth other than you made Jesus the Lord of your life? I know it always goes real big. I remember when I shared that with my kids when they were teenagers. I said, you need to understand. Just because you got born again, just because you got filled with the Holy Ghost, doesn't mean, yeah, you're going to make heaven, but that doesn't mean God's done with you. You got to have something to show him when you get up there. You got to be doing something. And there's no unused members in the body of Christ, and we do that in the body of Christ. You know, everybody has their thought process on that. But when we understand that the Holy Spirit's number two job, he convicts the world of sin, number one. Number two is he renews you and me. He makes us born again. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen? What an awesome scripture. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 18, and all things are of God. Man, aren't you glad? Hallelujah, that he cleansed you, that he washed you. Hallelujah, that he renewed you. He put a new man on the inside of you. Amen. Colossians 3:10 says this, and he has put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And then Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's so exciting to know you become a brand new person when you get born again. At least you should have. Does it mean you still had the same act, you still had the same body, you still had the same thing, but you didn't have the old ugliness on the inside. You got a brand new spirit that changes everything. Amen? We recognize that and we understand that, you know. And, you know, I gave you a lot of contrast last week with all of the different things, what justification is and what sanctification is. And the reason being is because many times what happens is we want to get people saved and we want to get and people they get excited and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what happens is they don't ever grow and they get disillusioned. And they get disappointed. Amen. And we see that where people are just, they're acting, not they don't act any different. It's like, well, wait a minute. Being born again should make you act a totally different thing. You know? Hallelujah. You know? I mean, just like we are totally, utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for our justification and our righteousness, which was a gift. Amen? And believe it or not, the gift of sanctification that Jesus has made unto us, sanctification, which simply means he was made unto us holy, or he was made unto us being the ability to be clean, but we have to walk in it. Amen. We're dependent upon him to renew us. You know? And if we don't walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4 says this, it says, we were buried with him in baptism, and we were raised up together with him. It says, so that we should walk in newness of life. I mean, if life isn't exciting, it's because you're not walking in what God has said and called you to do. And if the Word of God is not life to you, when you hear scriptures and it doesn't bring life, you're like, well, I've heard that. Then you need to go back to the last time scriptures were alive to you. Because you never need to read your Bible just to read it. You need to read your Bible in light of the Holy Spirit enlightening it to you, bringing it life-giving, you know. You know, says, well, I try. Just, well, hey, you need to go and say, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to see here. Amen? Because he wants to renew you. And you remember me 3 weeks ago. You probably don't remember this, but I shared with you that I was having a, you know, just things were going on. It's like, ugh, and I was kind of getting dissatisfied or just frustrated. I was having a nice little pity party, and I was frustrated about some things. And the Holy Spirit said this, He said this. He said, hey, and this is where I got. He said, don't you need to understand that if you're not satisfied, it's because you're not talking to me. You're not with me. Because I give you satisfaction. I make you satisfied. I give you satisfaction. I'm the one that brings you peace. I'm the one that, you're over here doing it on your own. See, because the Holy Spirit has the power to give abiding and everlasting satisfaction. Amen? Amen? I mean, the woman at the well, when he said he came there, he said, listen, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask of me and I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. And she's like, well, give me this water so I don't have to come to the well anymore. He said, okay. And he talked about giving her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So that's the well of salvation. The well of salvation. Glory to God. We've got a well. We've got our own. We draw it up. We draw it out. Hallelujah. But then that's John chapter 4. But in John chapter 7, he stands up at the last day of the feast and he says, hey, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water flowing out of me. And of course, John said, hey, this was not yet given because this is talking about the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost hadn't been here yet. So we see those things, and that's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? So if you're having situations just because you're not full enough, you need to get filled and get full. So how do I do that? You take the Word of God and you begin to fill up with the Word of God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up, woohoo! I do wake up good and I get up. I don't do that, okay? And I have to sometimes go down and encourage myself in the Lord. Amen. There's sometimes I don't even feel saved. But I don't go by my feelings. I begin to acknowledge what the Word of God says. Amen. I begin to share. I begin to declare. I begin to decree. How do I begin to say, Lord, And I used to have a daily confession that I did all the time. I probably should get back to that because I haven't done it. I do other things. I'm sharing. I'm preaching to myself. But I really liked my daily confession because it just stirred up the gift of God in me. Amen. It stirred it up. Hallelujah. Because then what happened is that I began to have peace within. Amen. Peace within. And when you have peace within, you have everything. When you have God's presence, His presence is everything I need. Hallelujah. He's going to make it happen. Just got to get God on the scene. I got to get God on that scene. Amen. Because that's what I have to do. Somebody's always said, Lord, do something. Lord, help me. Lord, come on. Give me joy. Lord, do this. Wait a minute. He already gave you joy. He already gave you peace. You got to stir it up and draw it out. Amen. And that's where sanctification comes against, because sanctification is work. It costs. It's tough. You got to stir it up. You got to stir it up. Hallelujah. Amen. Because how many of you know there's a law out here that's going against you? There are forces out here right now. I mean, the world is crazy. There are forces, but there are forces out here that are trying to come against you. And what you have to do is to realize, wait a minute. God said that He has, done some things for me. Hallelujah. He has set me free from the law of sin and death, which is what the world is under. Hallelujah. Amen. Because He said, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? So I need the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. See, you got to stir it up. You say, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the nature of God in me. I've got what God desires. I got to stir up the Spirit of God. I got to stir it up. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to bring strength to my spirit. Amen? I mean, when you see some things, when you realize what God's desire for us is that He wants to not only just be in us, but He's not just in us, He's for us. Amen? Amen. I mean, this is one of the greatest things the Holy Spirit's ever done, is to bring inner strength to you. And it's not some mystical thing, it's your spirit being strong. I've always quoted that scripture, and it's out of the Amplified Bible, out of Proverbs. It says, for the strong spirit of a man shall sustain him in times of trouble and of bodily pain. Yes. It means we got to have strength of spirit. There's also a scripture that says in Psalms or Proverbs, it says, if you fall in the day of adversity, your spirit is weak. Amen. The Word of God has the answer for just about everything that we have need of. Yes. Amen. But He wants to strengthen us with His power in the inner man. He wants to strengthen us with all of His might. Amen. His glory. Hallelujah. When we see that, in fact, go to Colossians chapter 1, just on that note. Go ahead. Let me give you a really cool scripture. I know all of you know the Bible frontwards and backwards, but it's good here. Hallelujah. Colossians, you know, chapter 1, you know, Paul's praying this prayer, and he says this in verse 9. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Man, what a great statement. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, verse 11 is the one I want to get to. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." Amen. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or made us able, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Amen. "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Amen. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's strengthening us, strengthening us. I mean, remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord." And here's what people have, I mean, I've had these questions asked. Well, Pastor, you say be strong. What in the heck does it mean? He's supposed to strengthen. How do I get strength? Well, I only know this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? And if our spirit, hallelujah, is connected to the Word, and if we have to have a strong spirit, hallelujah, then we need to build it up. Amen? And Jude 20 says, "But ye, beloved," you know, building up yourselves, you know, you know, by building up yourselves, by praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in the Holy Spirit, praying and building yourself up and edifying yourself, taking the Word of God that changes your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and in Ephesians chapter 3, go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read verses 16 through 19. Sometimes I just quote all these things and you guys smile, but it doesn't do any good. You know, when you're out there facing the enemy, you can't say, "Well, Pastor Mark said, Pastor Mark." No, you better say, "It is written." It better be there. "It is written." You say, "Wait, you may not know, like, as far as chapter and verse." I'm not telling you to be like me and do all those things there. That's just part of my makeup. But I am saying, you need to know, I know what's in there. It's better to know where it's at, but if you don't, you know, praise God, know it's there. Amen. Know it's there. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16, it says this. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Amen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, because when you have strength of spirit, you're not so hard to be get along with. You're not mean. You're not nasty. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that's where your righteousness flows from. Is on the inside of you. When you know who you are in Christ, you're not striving to be better than the person next to you. You're not competing for things. You have a fellowship with God, and you have a relationship that God says there's plenty to go around. Because one of the next things the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit has the power to lead us into a holy life as sons of God. And I think it's time for the church to be a little more holy. And when I say that, all that is, hey, we have a bigger and better relationship that in allowing God to be God in our life. And yeah, we should act different. Amen. We should. It should be a different story of not, you know, of what we can do here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm going to read you 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 out of the New Living Bible. And here's what it says. So 1 Peter 1, 13 through 17 says this. He says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control." Man, if we could just do that in the body of Christ, we'd be awesome, huh? Hallelujah. Our mind's for action. We're ready to do things, but we're also ready for self and control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. Isn't that cool? God has no favorites. We all are equal to get whatever we need to get. And he goes on to say, he will judge or reward, hallelujah, according to what you do. Ooh, he will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it says that he wants us to be holy so that as sons of God, Romans says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he gave us his Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Amen. We just got to tap into that. And it's not hard. In every area of the Word of God, it's not hard because God gives us scriptures. He tells us what we need to do. We just have to believe it and trust it. And almost every person that I've talked to about healing, about deliverance, or about God providing, provision, all that kind of stuff, many of them are like, well, I just don't understand the formula. What do I have to do in order for this to work? Well, there's no formula. Yeah, we break it down, tell you steps, we do everything like that, but it's a relationship. Amen. It's not a formula. It's believing and receiving what God said is true and acting on it. In the midst of things, so I'm going to trust God. Lord, I believe this. And it's keeping the word of God in your mouth. Amen. Amen. It's keeping it there. Because see, here's what God wants. He wants to have the power to live this holy life, but he also has the power to mold your character. Yeah. I heard this statement many years ago and it helped me. I mean, I heard it many, many, many years ago when I was a young minister, which was many years ago. Anyways, but it helped me. Because, and the statement was this, is that God wants to take you to places where your character can't keep you. And that changed my life that day, because I realized God has a plan and purpose for my life, and I may never, ever fulfill it if I don't take care of my actions. And I don't take care of my character. And I don't watch out, and it's me, that me and God's relationship is going to take me as far. You know, I'll go as far in life as God and my relationship is. I will receive all the things that he wants from me as good as our relationship is. Because I don't get anything out of life except what I believe God for and what I'm honoring him and what I'm doing. And when you understand that, it really changes your whole perspective on it and say, okay, God wants this to happen, or I desire this. Because I believe that when God gives, I believe that if I delight myself in the Lord, he gives me the desires of my heart. That's scripture. So when I have a desire of my heart, even if it's natural, I have a desire of my heart as long as it's not sin and, you know, and going to hurt people and do. But if it's a desire of my heart, well, I believe God put it there. I'm his child. Amen. And I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I believe that he orders my steps. Amen. I have to acknowledge those things or else it doesn't. We just go, well, I don't know, God, I don't know what to do. Well, it's because you haven't asked him and you haven't taken time. Amen. You're not right there. It's like, hey, glory to God. Because he wants to develop our character and he wants to give us Christ-like graces in that. Somebody says, well, what are those? I mean, what kind of a character am I supposed to have? Well, you're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Which, number one, you're supposed to have some love about you. You know? John said it like this in John 13, 34 and 35. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, so the very first thing that should come out of this should be the love of God, should be the agape love of God, where you're be able to forgive. You're able to walk. You're able to know God loves me, so it doesn't matter if anybody else does. I'm going to try to love everybody else. I'm trying to honor. But thank God, God loves me. Amen. And then the next one's really interesting because it's joy. And the body of Christ has no concept of what joy even actually means. And yet we have joy on the inside of us, but none of us ever tap into it. Now, you guys know my laugh. Okay, my laugh is very unique. You can hear it on all the cassette tapes and CDs and everything at Brother Higgins' meeting. You can hear all those things there. And just because I'm up close and personal, you know, I am. What I, you know, because I wanted to be on the front row. So when he's saying things, because he's usually walking around the front of the front row or walking down and doing stuff, I'm laughing because he's, you know, I'm just saying things. He's saying things that just thrill my heart. You know, I don't think he's really saying anything too funny. He's just saying truth, and I get excited. And when I get excited, I laugh. That's just what I do, you know, and I enjoy it. Hallelujah. I found out if you smile, you use less muscles than when you frown. That's why some of you are so tired, you know. Amen. But you got to draw. The Bible says a man will draw up joy. And joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. It's joy. It's a spiritual force that's powerful. It's the joy of the Lord is my strength. It will change the course of things. When I truly draw it up and say, well, how can you be joy in the midst of this? Hallelujah. You know, how can a man who just lost his kids and his wife got hurt and everything else, and he's going across the ocean, how can a man say and write a song called, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Because he drew it up. He drew it up. I said, well, no. Well, James said this, count it all joy, my brothers and my sisters. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation tests and trials. Count it all joy. Why? Because joy is a spiritual force. It's part of your character. I mean, if you never, you know, can't be happy, can't be joyful, can't be, then, you know, praise God, you need to work on that. Amen. And then he said the next one, we're supposed to have a character of peace, that when we show up, it's not, oh my gosh, they showed up. When we show up, it should be, it's okay now. Everything's good. Everything's good. It's peace. Because we showed up with authority. We showed up with a plan. We showed up because we've got the peace of God. It says, it's just good. Brought the peace of God with them. Amen? Hallelujah. You change the atmospheres. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he made this wonderful thing about your character. Long-suffering. Hallelujah. Don't you just wish that wasn't in there? You have to put up with people forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, not nothing. God will deliver you. But you have to be long-suffering. You have patience. You have long-suffering. Amen. Then he said kindness. Amen. Kindness is, you mean, I think the conspiracy of kindness is what we need to use to win the lost. That we are constantly kind because we tell them the truth. They get mad when you tell them the truth, but your kindness can override it. Amen? Hallelujah. It can change everything. You know, I mean, when you stand and you do things, it'll touch people's lives. You know, for those of you probably haven't remember this story, but when I was, before I went to Bible college and everything, I'd just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and I came back to California, and I started working at a sheet metal shop, an air conditioning place, and so I was making duct work and of course, going out and helping install and stuff, but really, I was in the shop because I was making things, and I could, you know, I could spot weld, and we were doing stuff, and, you know, and I actually, numbers are really easy for me, so, you know, measurements and connection, you had to make them right, so I was working with two guys, both as mean as they could be, you know. And one was he was a guy named Stan, and he was an atheist. I mean, he would tell me that, you know, we'd get to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. He'd be staggering in there, and you know, after being out all night long. And the other guy was just, you know, he was really smart at what he did and making things, but he was just real hard to work with. And Stan would be cussing and screaming, and I'd be doing things, and I just kept sharing the love of Jesus with both of them, you know, because I was just all excited. I just gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. You know, I'm 18 years old, and woohoo, look at this. This is great, you know. And, you know, Stan, he kept screaming at it, but I just kept telling him the truth of the Word of God. And he was so funny. Every time I'd say, well, do you have this tool? And I'd say, no, I don't have that tool. And then he'd cuss me out and he'd give me a new tool. He gave me all of my sheet metal tools, all of them. I said, I just got hired. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm figuring it out here. You know, what are we doing? He gave me every one that I have, and he'd yell at me about it. But you know, when I got accepted to go, because I'd worked there a year, both of those guys, but Stan particularly, he said, you know what? He said, you're the first guy in my entire life that ever, if there is a God, you showed me God. He said, you're amazing. He said, well, I said, Stan, I don't want to just show you God. I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, you know. And, I cut my finger. This is a side story. I cut my finger and he had it all wrapped up. We went to the emergency. He said, listen, we ain't got all day. When you get in there, unwrap that thing, pull it apart, let it bleed all over. We got to get in here. I mean, I said, okay, we'll do it. So, you know, we got it done quick. So it was, you know, it was so funny. But that's, you know, but what I say that is that, you know, when you do those things, that your character should come out, no matter how bad they are, no matter what they're doing. Amen. Because we should have kindness and we should have goodness. My goodness. Hallelujah. We should be good. People should. And then faithfulness, my gosh. We ought to be the most faithful at our jobs. We ought to be the most faithful when we tell them our word. And then it talks about gentleness and self-control. Those are amazing things. God's desire for you and I is to take the word of God, use it so people say, man, how come everything seems to work? How come things are happening? It's because of God's word. Because not only do I believe this, but I'm acting like it's so. And it's made me holy. Someone says, well, why don't you do this? No, I don't do those things. Well, why not? Well, because it's not going to bring life to my Father. It's not going to bring joy to him. I don't take the Holy Spirit into places he's not welcome. Amen. Amen? God's desire for you and I is that, listen, the Word of God, when you take it and you apply it and you walk in it, it actually works, just like salvation. And here's the thing about it. I remember this came revelation to me. The Lord said, listen, if you've accepted me as your Lord and Savior, then you've already exercised the most faith that you'll ever need in life. That means it's easier to get healed. It's easier to prosper, easier to be delivered, easier to have. Everything else is easy because now you're in my kingdom. It's hard to go from darkness to light. Hallelujah. You know, and yet we all know it's very easy to get born again. All it is accepting Jesus. And what do? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Well, how do we get healed? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. How do we get delivered? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. You know, how do we get prosperity? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. See, many times we think, well, prosperity is money. No, prosperity is seed. And the word of God is the seed. If you get the word of God, money will follow. Deliverance will follow. Blessings will follow. Peace will follow. Everything follows the word of God because that's what it is. It's the word of God. Amen? That's what we do. We have this relationship with this, and we believe this more than anything else. Amen. You know, it's like somebody said, well, if you were going to be stranded on a desert island, what would you bring? What would you bring so that you could survive? I said, I bring my Bible. Because my Bible can produce everything I need on that island. That's all I need. See, when you look at that, you go, well, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is. God can make the seagulls bring me food. He let the ravens bring, you know, good old Elijah food. Amen. God can bring a whale, swallow me up, and bring me to the land and spit me out. Well, you don't believe that? Yes, I do. And if I don't want to swim, he's going to bring some big birds and fly me. You say, Pastor, you're just crazy. No. Think about it is when you trust the word of God, God's a miracle working God. And you guys know he's a miracle working God. You know, we know that firsthand. We know God raised people from the dead. He can do anything. Hallelujah. And we see that. But we have to believe it. It's great to know, oh, look at how great it is over here on justification. Great. Know that. Grab that. Take hold of it. But let's bring it over here so everybody can see it. We can walk in it. Let's receive it. Let's watch the plan and the purpose of God fulfill. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I'm just sharing as a pastor, sharing my heart. Father, my desire is that the truth of your word just goes deeply into the hearts of each and every person and each and every one that's watching. Lord, my heart's cry is that nobody will say, well, you know, it's just not working for me. It's just, these things are happening. It's just so hard. It's not coming. No. Step back and say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. And when you trust him, you don't worry about how it works. You trust him to hold you in the palm of his hands. He's faithful even when we're not faithful. And you listen to do what he tells you to do by faith, receiving the end of it. By faith, you're walking. By faith, you're speaking. And you don't care what other people say or do. You don't care. It's just you between you and the Lord of making this thing happen. It's just like salvation. Everybody's, you know, we have, it's between us and the Lord and us and the Lord alone. It's a personal salvation. We have our heads bowed, our eyes closed here, and we're honoring God because we're like, Lord, let the word sink into me. Let it sink into me. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're here or you're watching, it's very simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Because with your heart, you know, you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He loves you. He loves you. It's not hard. But when you receive that, that's the beginning of the journey. That's the start. God has great things in store. So if you're here and you need Jesus, raise your hand real high, because God loves you. Don't ever leave this place not knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I see that hand. Yes. Praise God. You know, it, when God's tugging on your heart, it's great to do. It's just saying, Lord, here am I. And when you raise that hand, God sees you. So let's all declare and join this one. Let's say this together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. I receive him now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of all of my sins and cleansing me of all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen and amen. Father, thank you for all these that are here. Thank you for those that are watching. Father, my heart's cry, my heart's desire is that the Word of God becomes real and real and more real in their lives, that they can trust it. More than any other thing in their life, they can trust your Word. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. We honor you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand up. Our prayer team's going to come down if you need prayer for anything. Hey, I love you. God loves you. And we'll see you next Sunday, because we're still not having Wednesdays because we're still working. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, we'll have the whole sanctuary painted, all the partitions done. It's going to be a blessing. Amen. Love all of you.